This is UBS's Top of the Morning. The world's human population is growing, which means resources that support human life on Earth are shrinking. Today, we will examine a notable risk to human life on Earth and solutions being discussed to address it, including those which involve space exploration. It is Thursday, February 28th, 2019. I'm Dan Cassidy. Welcome and thank you for joining us today. I would like to welcome back my guest to the program, Thematic Investing Strategist Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Michelle Liberty. So, Michelle, welcome back 2 days in a row. It's great to have you. So good morning.
Morning. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. So, Michelle, I know on this topic, you recently authored a blog, which, by the way, is up now on UBS Online Services, a title of which is Houston, We Have Hydroxyl. And within that blog, you do cite that the World Economic Forum has cited water scarcity in particular as being one of the biggest risks facing mankind. So can you walk us through the research which supports that view? I know that is one which is shared by UBS, as well as the overall scope of this dilemma.
Sure, of course. So if I'm starting at a really high, you know, broad level, population growth and urbanization, especially in places like Africa, Asia, some other emerging markets, they're driving demand for water. And at the same time, you have things like global warming, you have aging infrastructure, like leaking pipes, for example. These are all putting pressure on the supply at the same time as we have that demand pressure, like I mentioned. So if you think about water, you know, usually the first thing that comes to your mind is drinking water. But in reality, there's all of these externalities or indirect effects that sometimes can be, you know, overlooked or forgotten. And with a growing population, we need to produce more food, generate more electricity, higher living standards. These people are taking more showers, using more water to clean. All of these things are really contributing to that demand increase that I mentioned. And then on the supply side, we have climate change making weather a lot harder to predict. We're seeing extreme droughts, storms, floods, and the frequency of them is becoming more and more uncertain. So this imbalance between supply and demand already exists today, with demand being higher than supply, but we actually expect that gap between the two to widen pretty significantly within the next decade. And then to answer your question on the scope of the issue, I would say our research shows this pretty wide-ranging problem. I think here in the U.S., a lot of us are pretty used to having water readily available, but in reality, water scarcity is going to affect a wide range of the world, including us right here in the United States. So one study estimates actually that 2/3 of the world's population could be affected by this. So like I said, it's a pretty broad problem. Besides the obvious drawbacks of not having enough water to sustain life the way that we know it, we've also found that insufficient water supply can actually lead to lower GDP growth as well.
So, Michelle, what exactly is being discussed as a means to help alleviate these issues?
Yeah, definitely. So I know I just gave you a lot of concerning statistics, but it's not all bad news. We are seeing some growing awareness and innovation around solving this challenge. One positive that I think we've seen is support from large and global institutions like the World Bank, for example. The European Investment Bank in particular has really tuned into the issue. They've been providing funding for things like wastewater treatment, new technology, to try and help increase access to clean water. As far as the infrastructure side goes, like the pipe leakage that I mentioned, pipes and inefficient distribution are a large portion of water loss. So if we work to try and fix those things, whether it be investing in things like dams or repairing some of our existing infrastructure and pipes, in the case of emerging markets, maybe building an entirely new system, all of these would help to lower the amount of water that we're wasting, in turn helping some of that supply pressure. And we've also seen some supportive legislation, particular the marine shipping industry. There's been some harmful bacteria from those ships that get released into the water. So some legislative action is kind of working to try and help alleviate some of that by requiring ballast water treatment. So that's been a positive as well. Some of the newer concepts include desalination, which is the removal of salt from seawater. And then, as you mentioned, there's even the concept of asteroid mining, and some potential solutions within the space economy that we definitely see opportunity in as well.
Okay, so some concerning issues, as you mentioned, at the top of the conversation, but it sounds like there are some solutions in place, some already in place to help alleviate these concerns. On that last note you mentioned, Michelle, you spoke a little bit about the space-related implications in your recent blog. Could you explain a little bit more about the concept you just mentioned and how this might tie into the space-related investments, some of which I know yourself and Laura Kane have discussed on this program prior?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I know it seems like a little bit sci-fi, but in reality, it's actually something that we're seeing a lot more of. And space exploration could actually be used in the future to help try and replenish some water and other natural resources too. So I'll start a little bit more broad just on the concept of asteroid mining. And asteroids have been found to contain a large number of natural resources and pretty large quantities too. So that's things like carbon, phosphorus, even precious metals like platinum. As far as water goes, I know it's the topic of the day. Planetary Resources actually estimated that around 2 trillion tons of water are available on near Earth asteroids. So, I mean, that's such a big number that could really be an incentive for scientists and, you know, space tech companies to try and find a solution to harvesting some of these resources. And actually, just pretty recently, Japan landed a probe on an asteroid with the intent to study its contents. So we saw that as some progress in the right direction. And then as far as the blog that you mentioned, I recently caught wind of some new research that NASA put out. And they discuss a concept called solar wind. And I'm sure I am oversimplifying the process, but in short, they discovered that particles that are coming from the sun, which is the solar wind, are actually combining with particles in the soil on the moon's surface, and it's creating a molecule called hydroxyl, or OH for short. So unfortunately, you know, that's not H2O, which is topic of the day, what we're really interested here. So there's definitely a lot more research that needs to be done here, but is definitely encouraging either way.
Yeah, it sounds like some progress is being made, but as far as the space economy goes, it sounds like it's very much still in its infancy and will require investment in order to further some of these initiatives. So with that being said, Michelle, what are the opportunities that these industries present for investors?
Definitely, yeah. So I will start with water. And what's common to a lot of our themes is that we see an opportunity that's created within the challenge. So as companies and investors going to look for ways to solve these problems or lessen the burden that the theme touches on, in this case, water shortages. So we actually estimate the overall market to be worth around $600 billion annually. But since it incorporates several industries, it's pretty wide ranging. We split it into two main groups, and that's industrials and then water utilities. So utilities is going to cover your things like wastewater treatment, and industrials is a little bit more broad. It's things like equipment for distribution, the pipes that I mentioned, and treatment and things like that. So in terms of the growth rates for these industries, they do vary pretty widely. We expect the water utility sector to grow at a mid to high single digit rate. While parts of industrials like filtration pumps, valves, and other parts of the infrastructure will likely be a little bit more slower growing, lower end of the single digit range. Now, some of the newer industries that are a little less mature, they're still, in, like you mentioned, in the infancy stages. That's for things like desalination and the ballast water treatment for the marine shipping industry that I mentioned earlier. We'd expect those to see the faster growth rates, probably above 10% annually. As for space goes, the industry is definitely still at the early stages. So a lot of these ventures are still private. And those private companies can really vary pretty widely as far as their incentives go. We recommend if investors are looking for public exposure, we look to companies that are already engaged in rocket development, launch services, and satellite services as well.
All right. Well, it's a fascinating conversation, Michelle. So appreciate you joining us today, shedding some light on some key issues facing mankind here on Earth, what's being done to alleviate them, hopefully, and also providing us some updates as far as where the space economy currently lies. I know we're still in the early innings, a lot more to go there. So we'll look forward to having you back on again with us soon to speak to some further developments on that front. So thanks again, Michelle.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And again, we've been joined by Thematic Investing Strategist Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office, Michelle Liberty. And there are many publications available now up on UBS Online Services, including the blog that we highlighted, that blog again titled Houston, We Have Hydroxyl. So for UBS clients, be sure to contact your financial advisor to receive a copy of that blog directly. Top of the Morning will be back again for you tomorrow. It will be Friday. That means we'll have our weekly weekend review preview conversation. Looking forward to that. Aside from that, have a great day, everyone.